Pierre Maguire on TSN 690, brought to you by Dagwoods Catering. Make your office party a hit with Dagwoods Catering. Order online at dagwoods.ca.
Salut, Pierre.
Hey, Simon. How you doing?
Very well. Yourself?
Good, thank you.
Good. I want to start with the Habs, but a lot of things I want to get into because I just thought yesterday was a very quietly on a Wednesday, a very, very special night in the National Hockey League. 12 games on the board and lots of storylines. Pierre had this conversation with Mitch Gallagher before. I have one complaint with the Canadiens thus far with Coach Terry. It's a little bit of a complaint. I'd like to see Alex Galchenyuk's 16 minutes get closer to 19 minutes. How does a coach add 3 minutes to a player without disrupting the entire chemistry of a hockey team?
You don't worry about matchups as much in terms of what the opposition coach is trying to do to shut down your best offensive line. So you don't worry about what's going on when, especially Galchenyuk, and Radulov are on the ice with Paul Byron. You don't worry about that matchup. So that will add some minutes for your star player. The other thing is you get them out there killing penalties. I went through this with Mario Lemieux and Ronnie Francis. You get them out there killing penalties. Obviously, they're on the power play. And so when you try to get those minutes up, usually that'll add up to 2 to 3 minutes per game if you do it that way.
Is it hard to get Galchenyuk to kill penalties on this team, Pierre, that if you look at the on paper, Pacioretty, Gallagher, Plekanec, Byron, Mitchell, Flynn when he's healthy, that there's so many guys that are ahead of him when it comes to killing
penalties? Yeah, but you've got Danault as well, too. So yeah. It's bang on. But that's when you have to. And I remember, and Michel Therrien was coaching in Pittsburgh at the time, and I remember how frustrated, and it wasn't Michel's fault, it's just the reality. He had other players that could do it. Jordan Staal was one of them. Sidney not killing a lot of penalties. And Sidney would get, and I was down there between the benches, so I could tell, Sidney would get really frustrated when he wouldn't be put on the ice to kill penalties. And Michel was a coach then, and it wasn't a knock on him. He had Jordan Staal. Jordan was great, and Malkin was a phenomenal defensive center iceman. So between the two of them, Sidney was kind of the odd man out, and it frustrated him. I could tell you it frustrated him a lot, but that's where as a coach you have to make some decisions in terms of your star players. And one of the things you really want to stress is you want to stress offensive opportunities when your team is shorthanded. Put pressure on the opposition defense and try to capitalize in shorthanded situations.
Mitch brought up a point. Maybe, you know, he's not been very good in the faceoff circle thus far in his career. But at some point, you got to put him out there and you got to give him some defensive zone responsibilities, right? And you hold your breath, I guess, and you hope for the best that he wins a couple of those draws.
Well, the one thing is he's going to get better by doing it. You have to measure it. It's not just a foolproof system where you say, okay, I'm putting him out there and I know he's going to be really good. You have to understand there are different scenarios. For instance, let's just play a hypothetical. There's 3 minutes left in the game, and your team is leading by a goal, and you're shorthanded. He's not out there at that time unless he's proven that he can win over 55% of his faceoffs. If he's not, then he doesn't go out there. But every situation is a hypothetical, and you just build into it. You have to understand those things as a coach. That's why, you know, people talk all the time about being an attention to detail person. That's how you prove you have attention to detail type personality, by knowing those different scenarios.
So Pierre, let's take a look at the blue line. Joel Hanley gets sent down. Mark Barberio gets called up. Nathan Beaulieu is hurt, so Greg Patterson draws in. And I want to ask you specifically about Greg Patterson because he's been healthy scratched 5 of the last 7 games. And when I watch him live, I don't really notice that many flaws in his game. Maybe he doesn't transition the puck all that well, but for a number 6, I don't even find him that bad in that regard. Why do you think he's had a hard time finding a regular spot in the Canadian side?
I think they want to play with more pace. Pace is not one of his things. I remember when the Canadiens acquired him, he was a draft pick at Toronto. I remember when the Canadiens got him, and I remember telling Mitch Melnick, the one thing about him is he's going to work to get his way into the lineup. He's going to be a reliable, steady defensive presence, but he's never going to give you any offense, and he's not going to push the pace of the game. That's just the reality with the player. I think what they're trying to do as an organization is create an identity. One of those is being a fast, skillful team. He's not that kind of a player. But can he help you win? The answer is yes, he absolutely can.
So what do you tell him tonight if you're part of the coaching staff because
Nothing.
He hasn't
played?
Play
your game. Play your game. You can't... People always think there's this magic or silver bullet where you're going to be able to say to a player, well, go out there and score three goals, and here's how you're going to do it. That doesn't work. What you need to do is make sure the player understands he has to play the way he's always played to get into the league. You don't want to have costly mistakes. You don't want to have guys not paying attention to what they do well. So his thing is be an efficient puck mover. Be a guy that doesn't give up odd man rushes. Be a guy that's reliable clearing the crease. Be a guy that's not going to turn the puck over deep in your own zone. If you do those things, you're going to be fine.
So the other guy is Barbario, who draws in. And also, Pierre, Redmond's been cleared to resume practicing. So when you're weighing out the number six defenseman, and you got three players there, how do you evaluate the three of them in a competition for each other, against
each
other?
That's a great question. It depends on what you want your roster to look like and who's the most. I think at the end, when you look at it all, it's the most consistent player. Redmond's thing is probably more pucks transporting and being an offensive presence. Pattern's thing is probably more clearing the crease and being just an efficient player. Barbario is probably a combination of the two, being a transporter and being a bigger body that can potentially clear the crease and win a lot of board battles. But I think the most important thing between the three of them is who's the most consistent. Who, and Scotty used to say this to players all the time, Scotty Bowman, don't be an A one night and a D the next. Be a solid B+. If you're a solid B+, you'll never be taken out of the lineup. So you always have to be consistent.
Simon Tsilikas in for Mitch Melnyk. This is Melnyk in the Afternoon on TSN 690 in conversation with NBC hockey analyst Pierre McGuire, with Mitch Gallo and Dave Trinadue.
Pierre, Paul Byron has been slotted in on the left side with on a line with Alex Galchenyuk and Alexander Radulov. He's fit in well so far, played a solid game in Ottawa, had his chances. What do you think of him there, and do you think there's a player better suited for that role on this Canadiens roster right now?
Right now, David, I wouldn't mess with the integrity of that line. I mean, you look at it, they're creating chances. They're very responsible defensively. Byron's kind of the back-checking presence on that line. Radulov's more of the crease pusher, and the guy's going to get to the front of the net. And Galchenyuk's a skill guy that can make things happen from long range or in tight. So I really wouldn't mess with the integrity of that line. I mean, in a perfect world, potentially Pacioretty's the guy that can move up there. But Max has to earn his ice time. You know, I think the biggest thing is that you've got one line that works, and it works really well. I throw this out there just for people that study the league. The Islanders lost three players. Matt Martin to Toronto, ruined their fourth line. Franz Nielsen to Detroit, ruined their second line. Kyle Okposo to the Buffalo Sabres, ruined their first line. They lost three players. Those three players basically affected 12. They didn't affect three. They affected 12. And that's the problem. And so, you know, everybody wants Pacioretty to get moved up. Well, Pacioretty's got to earn his way up. That's just the harsh reality of it.
Pierre, I just want to go around the National Hockey League, and I caught some of the Columbus and the Calgary game.
You didn't watch that whole game.
No. Just caught some of it.
Not all the other games going on.
No.
Don't even go there.
No. I caught some of it because I...
Okay, some of it, yeah.
Because when I tuned in, I thought this was a great question for you. It was towards the tail end of the game, and Chad Johnson pitched the shutout.
Mm-hmm.
Management extended themselves this offseason, and they went and got what they thought was a number one goalie, and they gave him some pretty decent coin. Now,
talking about Brian Elliott.
Brian Elliott, that's right. So
okay.
there's a point here that the coach will say, oh, I'd like to go with the hot hand, the guy that just got me a shutout. But there's also the part where the general manager went out and made a move. So tell me where that dynamic between the head coach and the general manager has to come in, where the coach might say, can I just go to my backup one more time? And general manager might say, well, I gave that other guy a lot of money, and you know, I hung myself out there for this guy, so I'd like to get him back in the lineup. So how does that play out?
If you run your team that way, based on political correctness, you have no chance of being successful. This is a results-oriented business. The best result is to win. So you have to, unfortunately, you have to put the best player out there. Here, it's a football, and I'm tying it into football, just because I know in Canada you're getting close to the Grey Cup. But in the United States, obviously with the NFL and today being Thanksgiving, it's a huge day. Dak Prescott in Dallas has beaten out Tony Romo. Even though Romo was hurt, Romo's not getting back in the field. He got beat out. He got beat out by a fourth-round pick. If you look at Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, Drew Bledsoe was starting quarterback. Tom Brady was a sixth-round pick. Tom Brady got in. Bledsoe never got back in. That's why football, if you have a football mentality running an NHL team, you're going to be successful because you're not going to allow political correctness to step in. You're not. And so that's I credit Calgary because Brian hasn't been great this year. He has not been great for them, Brian Elliott, at all. He's not been nearly as good as they thought he would be.
Let's bounce to the Devils and the Maple Leafs yesterday. So Toronto gets off to a fantastic start to get out to a 3-0 lead.
Watch the whole game.
Mike Babcock's got a young core. I don't think it's a very young team. He's got, you know, he's got guys that have been around for a while, but still that nucleus, a lot of the talent is so young. Is this worse of a loss because they blew a 3-0 lead? And how do you handle blowing a 3-0 lead with a younger squad?
I will say what I say to everybody that asks me about Toronto. Name me the stopper on the back end that's going to be the guy that you can say, shut these guys down. Who shut down Camilleri last night? Nobody. Who shut down Travis Zajac last night? Nobody. They don't have that stopping presence. Mitch Gallo, I guarantee you watch all their games. Mitch Gallo, who's their stopping presence?
Polak?
No, come on, please.
Well, no, I'm picking between six evils, Pierre.
What
do you
want me to do? I understand, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
They don't have that. So they're going to have to build that up internally and also through the draft and through acquisition, through the trade. That being said, how do you deal with it as a coach? It's film study. It's making younger forwards more accountable and more responsible, and it's also about never taking your foot off the accelerator. You may have a 3-0 lead. Make it a 6-0 lead. Make it a 6-0 lead. Then you can relax a little bit. But they didn't do that.
Now, you know, I was watching that game, and I thought it was so funny when they showed the shot of Corey Schneider. He's on the bench before the shootout. And he has an iPad in his hand, Pierre. Is that common now in the NHL for goaltenders right before a shootout to bust out an iPad and study some of the trends and the tendency of the shooters on the other side?
I wouldn't say it's common, but I say it's becoming more and more prevalent. I think people are paying attention more to those little things. They do matter. I talked with an NHL general manager the other day about different ways of incorporating film study into in-between periods and during game situations, just based on the harsh reality. When I was doing it as a coach, you couldn't do that because everything was done reel to reel. It was like two VCRs. You were recording on one and taping off the other. It was labor intensive. Now you just have to do stuff on a computer. There are programs for it. It's completely different. But I do think there's some real intrinsic value to what Corey Schneider was doing last night.
And also, what were you saying yesterday about Austin Matthews doing all the right things and all the little things well, yeah, and the goals are going to come eventually?
Yeah, you guys, he did all right yesterday.
Yeah, I thought so.
He did fine. I mean, that's what really frustrates me. People that don't understand or can't equate success of a player to not having real numbers. The player was playing really well. He wasn't getting numbers that mattered in fantasy drafts or DraftKings.com type stats. But he was still winning faceoffs. He was still leading his team in takeaways. He was still leading his team or close to it in faceoff percentage. There were a lot of things he was doing really well. I was happy that he had a great offensive night. It still wasn't good enough. They lost a game. But he's fine. He's going to be a superstar player in the league for a long time.
Pierre, I'm in my early 40s. I have a brother in his mid-50s. And a brother in his late 50s. So very difficult conversations because we get into it and we agree that we can't take one player from one generation and stick him into another generation. So I don't want to talk about whether, you know, what kind of success this player would have, but I want to talk about one specific part of his game, and that's Alexander Ovechkin. And you've watched this game for a long time. Forget about
the 14, Simon. Yeah. Now that you're throwing out numbers, yeah.
Since we're throwing out numbers, so I don't want to talk about his physical presence or his ability to skate and all that stuff. And training is different. But Pierre, when it comes to just the ability to release the puck, how many has had his ability in the last 50 years of hockey?
Oh, not a lot. I mean, you know, not a lot. He's really different in terms of release point. Patrick Laine is one of the guys in the league that has it. You could look over time. He's a right-hand shot. Mike Bossy definitely had that. Just different kind of release just because of the size and the strength factor. Mike is nowhere near as big as Ovechkin in terms of total body mass, but there have been players. Messier was one. He was a left-hand shot, but he could squeeze the puck like Ovechkin does. And I could probably, Timo Salani, who was a right-hand shot, not nearly as big as Ovechkin, but could do that. There have been a lot. Recchi was a lefty, but he could squeeze it a lot like the way Ovechkin does. Again, not nearly as large. The thing about last night in Ovechkin, when you watch Evgeny Kuznetsov playing that game, he was off the charts. That's the best game he's played all year, and he played on the line with Ovechkin and with Burakovsky, and that line was awesome. That line was fantastic, and if they can keep that going, Ovechkin's probably going to win the Rocket Richard.
And on the flip side to that, St. Louis Tarasenko was a beast yesterday. He picked up a pair, which always makes you wonder when Team Russia gets together. It's kind of hard to figure out. They can't put it all together.
You know what's cool about that, Simon? There are three guys that nobody talks about. Tarasenko, who's obviously great and had 40 goals last year. Kuznetsov, who's had over 75 points last year in the league. And Panarin, who was Rookie of the Year in Chicago. Those three guys played on a line together for the Russians in the 2011 World Junior in Buffalo. And that's the game where Canada melted down and lost the game in the third period. And it was the line of Tarasenko, Panarin, and Kuznetsov that got the Russians the win. And whenever those, and I've talked to all three of those players, whenever they play against one another, they always try to outdo one another. It's phenomenal to watch. And last night, obviously, you had Kuznetsov against Tarasenko.
And very late at night, Panarin got his eighth of the season against the San Jose Sharks. So all three young boys did very well.
The news out of that one is Jonathan Toews getting hurt.
Just reading that a couple of the Chicago writers on Twitter wasn't at practice today, and they don't expect him to be in the lineup tomorrow night. So we'll keep an eye on that.
In Anaheim.
Yeah. Pierre, thanks for taking the time. Happy Thanksgiving and enjoy the melee of football this weekend.
On my way to Philadelphia for a huge Philadelphia-New York Ranger game tomorrow, Simon. Happy Thanksgiving to all our American listeners and to the Canadian listeners. Enjoy all the snow up at Tremblant. Get up there. Go skiing. Have fun.
We will. Thanks, Pierre.
See you later. Bye.
Thanks. Pierre McGuire, NBC Hockey Analyst. Simon Slikas, Mitch Gallo, and Dave Trentadue. This is Mel Lincoln in the Afternoon on a TSN 690.